Blog Talk Radio. Thunderstruck. You're listening to Gray Eye Smith on Bad Company, and this is a radio program that's brought to you by Late Night Poets on allpoetry.com. And we are on allpoetry.com. We have anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out as they help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on a continuation of Louis Wild Dove's front page picks from September. So, yeah, that's that. I'm going to check the phone lines. Let's see here. Is that Weaver?
It certainly is, my dear. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm awake, which is a bonus.
Well, thank you for calling in and sharing your morning with me. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to post the first poem. And if you wouldn't mind giving this a read, please, Lita.
My pleasure, my dear. A lot of pleasure. Yes, of course. Just give me a moment till I get this refreshed. Here we have. Excellent. Bear with me. Just suddenly decide to disappear. It's my lucky night as usual. Come on, where are you? It was there. I swear it was there a second ago. Yeah, we've got it. Excellent. I've got so much luck, honestly. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. My two dreams. My twin and I loved the country, Grandma and Grandpa's house. She loved baking pies and cakes with Grandma. I adored poking around in the outbuildings, watching the chickens, listening to the rooster, catching toads out of the pond. My twin learned to dust and clean. I learned the sound of a tree frog, the trill of songbirds, the smell of fresh cut grass. Grandma knew as well. She packed the lunch for me at breakfast, told me to get home before it got too dark. Grandpa let me do some chores, but cautioned me to stay away from rusty nails. That was pretty much my only rule. I dragged stuff out of those outbuildings as if I owned them. An old bike with two flat tires, which I rode down a lane on all the rims. I sat on the old tractors and a smelly old 1942 coupe without a top smelled like mice remnants, for good reasons. When I tired of that, I would go fishing or poke around in the dirt with shovels and hoes and rakes and junk. There was nothing about the country that I did not love. When I got married, I told my husband my two big dreams, one to be a grandma and two to live in the country. 10 grandchildren, and guess where I live? End poem.
Beautiful read. And that's such a lovely story. I mean, what a traipse through memory lane for this person, and what beautiful memories they are. I sat on the old tractors and a smelly old 1942 coupe without a top that smelled like mice remnants, for a good reason. You know, you can see all that, and it's quite visceral. And I really like the penultimate stanza where she says, "When I got married, I told my husband my two big dreams, one to be a grandma and two to live in the country. I have 10 grandchildren, and guess where I live?" Wow, such a beautiful story. And what a happy ending. Lucky her. Beautiful. What did you think, Weaver?
Exactly that. There is nothing nicer than looking back on fond memories of childhood. It's brighter, it's sweeter, it's happier than perhaps it was, but it is great still to think about the things that you used to do and enjoy, and that sounds idyllic, doesn't it? But her twin decided that she was a home bird, and our poet decided that she would be off into the country poking frogs with big sticks. I think it sounds wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Bit of a comment, Weaver. Thank you. And sorry, I'm going to grab the next poem, and I'll post that up. Okay, here we go. There's that. Now, I'll put up the next poem. It's by CRL17. Okay, thank you, Naomi. I'll get to you in just a second. Here we go. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Hi, how are you?
Hello, guys. I'm fine. Glad to be
Hi,
with
Naomi.
You.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, my dear.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, it's lovely to, yeah, lovely to be on the show with you. That's great fun.
Yes, and you, yours too, great.
Yeah, you're both beautiful people, so thank you for sharing your time with me tonight. I appreciate that greatly.
Oh,
okay, Naomi, did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
Yeah, make me think of, you know, my childhood when I was on my grandpa, my pop and mom's farm, my grandparents, and, you know, over on PEI, and yeah, makes me think of that, all those memories. Of, you know, I'm not married, but I do have 4 grandchildren. But no, not married. But yeah, at least I had kids and do have beautiful, beautiful 4 granddaughters, which I just love. So yeah, life is good.
Awesome possum.
But a beautiful
calling in. Would you mind reading the next one, please, Naomi?
Okay.
Nature of Rain by C.R.L. 17.
Nature of Rain. Raindrops falling down a peaceful lake under siege, breaking still waters, empty city streets, streetlights moving silently. A midsummer storm, late summer shower, like notes on the piano, nature's symphony. Puffs of summer clouds head west towards red-orange sunsets, scent of rainwater. Suddenly a rainbow bolts of lightning light the sky, nature on parade. Drums start to rumble. Rain-filled clouds begin to burst. Tears sent from heaven. End poem.
Gray, are you on mute, my dear?
Oh, I was. Sorry. Starting off on the wrong foot tonight. But no, that was a wonderful read, Naomi. And such a beautiful poem, so picturesque and captivating. You know, it really captures the essence of nature brilliantly. And it's a wonderful haiku string. You know, each individual haiku has its own stanza. I mean, its own, you know, imagery. And, you know, you can feel the emotions that this brings with it, you know, as you watch the raindrops falling down a peaceful lake under siege, breaking still waters, you know, empty city streets, cities. Streetlights moving silently, a midsummer storm. You know, you can picture all this and put yourself right in that picture. And I thought that was just excellent crafting. What did you think, Weaver?
I agree. It's absolutely lovely. I like the movement of it. You know, you can basically hear the raindrops, and each time, each stanza gives you a little bit more. So you're beside a lake, and then you're on the city streets. But I thought my favorite was late summer shower, like notes on the piano, nature's symphony. Sorry, it's actually nature's symphony. I thought that was lovely and beautifully put together. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, you read the poem. What did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, Nature's Symphony does sum up, you know, the beauty of this entire haiku string, you know, this haiku chain here. Yeah, just beautiful. You know, puffs of summer clouds head west towards red-orange sunsets, scent of rainwater. You know, just beautiful, one after the other. You know, so well deserving a front page pick. Wow, bravo, CRRL17, bravo.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem here. This is by Richard Wiseman. And it is called Horseman Pass by, and there's a SoundCloud for that, so I will play that. Here we go.
Horseman Pass by Richard Wiseman. The white-horsed crowned rider quick passes, his viral winds N95 us, leaving us gasping for air. Blood-red horse follows after. With sword-bearing rider, ever whispering of wars internal and global, of hand to hand, eye to eye, and thermonuclear radioactive mushrooms raining across our rented sky. Then comes the food merchant, whose scales weigh gold against scanty bits of hard white wheat, leaving hundreds of millions wanting, quaking with bloated-bellied hunger, staring on as his sweaty black steed gallops past, dusting its poison over our sun-withered crops. Old fourth and final horse is pale, and upon him sits the eternal skeleton, death. In his wake, hellfire gulfs all. Gaze long and marvel not that 21 centuries of cold cast sleep now vexes to a waking nightmare. Rise again to hear the falconer's call. Horseman, pass by. End of poem.
Dre, are you on mute?
Oh, my goodness, like twice now. Sorry. But no, that was a beautiful read and excellent, right? Stunning, right? Filled with marvelous imagery. But, you know, it was based on two poem quotes, and it's cast a cold eye on life, on death, horsemen pass by. That's by Yeats, by Under Ben Balbin. And then the next quote is, the darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast in its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born. And that's by Yeats, The Second Coming, and also to Revelation 6:1-8. So, it was a fantastic take on the prompt, you know. I mean, he's speaking of, you know, in the first stanza, what we went through with the viral winds of COVID, in my opinion. And then, you know, we got war after that with Ukraine, I'm sure. And, you know, and then the world starving while people are getting rich is definitely going on. And, you know, what the final horse is pale, and upon him sits the eternal skeleton, death. In his wake, hellfire gulps all. And, you know, and then he speaks to, you know, gaze long and marvel not that 21 centuries of cold cast sleep now vexes to a waking nightmare. Rise again to hear the falconer's call. Horsemen pass by. Just a haunting, powerful read, Richard. Fantastic job. I can see why this got my front page pick as well. Beautiful job. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree totally. This is so deep and so well written. It does take you straight into the story, doesn't it? I must admit, my first thought was the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, because I thought, I didn't realize it was different prompts he was writing to, which I should have looked at. But that was kind of my first thought. And it's possible that that's, you know, part of it, I suppose. But I thought it was beautifully read too. But a very, very interesting, deep poem. And I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing.
Awesome. Thank you for that wonderful comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Now, this is, you know, you summed it up wonderfully, both of you, you know, and especially, you know, you dissected it well, the poem Gray all through, you know, very powerful, right? Very spiritual, right? And, you know, how, you know, the despair in it, you know, that we see, you know, when we're faced with all these turmoils, you know, that fall upon us, in which we're really powerless, you know, in front and in face of them. So, you know, like that, they are like the horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, passing by. So great, right, you know, Richard Wiseman is such a talented writer, and bravo, Richard. Amazing piece.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for those wonderful comments, everybody, and thank you for the SoundCloud, Richard. Much appreciated. Okay, so this next poem is by Zara H., and it's called Skeleton. Trying to hold on to hope while the layers of sky fall apart over your head. Trying to smile when all you feel is despair. Trying to emit joy while your insides bleed. Bleeding, dreams, ambitions, goals, wants, all sleeping under your body like a puddle of blood. Normal needs for a human to feel content of some sort, just a small amount, you can carry to help you carry on the struggle, but taking a step ahead, then dragged on 100 back, while giving your all, digging in rocks to achieve something. A non-ending circle of disappointments and of infirmity. So asking yourself, are we not to succeed in any endeavor? Is there a list of chosen ones where we have been missed? Under what criteria were we absent when the bingo took place? So what's the point of trying? What's the point of giving? What's the point of dreaming? What's the point of living? All efforts to recover goes in vain. And you reach the fact that you're caged in a bloody moon phase. A skeleton to breath is dear to fly, not a choice. How can you find your purpose when your purpose defies you? While growing up, I thought life is simple. Work hard and you will be rewarded. Life doesn't give a rat about lazy people, but I gave till my soul surged into flames. I worked hard till my bones shattered. I tried and tried and cried and died from the inside. I have no more to give as I feel unworthy of peace or happiness. And now I'm lost on the side walks of life, not knowing how much it will through my way. It seems her game's still on, but I may not strike a bingo. After all, I'm not one of those two chosen ones. I'm a skeleton. End poem. Wow, that was deep. You know, I really hope that she doesn't live her life like this and feel this way. That would be haunting. You know, it really speaks to all the battles in life that we fight, and, you know, until we're beat down, and this is where she's living. It's this beat down phase. And you have to pick yourself up and find some kind of a hope or a dream to follow, you know, something to help you get out of bed in the morning and everything. But that was very sad and melancholic, but wonderful read. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, such a sad piece of poetry. As you say, we hope that this is not the life that's being led at the moment, and this might have been cathartic, who knows? But, wow, it is really sad. And people do have sad lives. There are people, you know, some people have blessed lives and some people have sad ones. And this sounds like it was a real struggle. I don't like to hear something like, so what's the point of trying? What's the point of giving? What's the point of dreaming? What's the point of living? That, you know, as somebody on a downward spiral, which is hard to recover from. But I thought it was beautifully written. And thank you so much for sharing it.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to everybody that's suffering that kind of a life at this moment. But Naomi, what is your comment?
Yeah, this is a powerful, powerful right, you know. Bleeding, dreams, ambition, goals, wants, all seeping under your body like a puddle of blood. Wow. You know, that line right there just seizes you. Yeah, sad reality indeed, you know. But, you know, one that many, many face, you know. I take, you know, people going through depression, you know, that feel this way, and there's so many out there. And, you know, especially after COVID, a lot of, you know, our young people experience this, and, you know, they're looking and, you know, trying to find a sense to their life and, you know, in all the face of what we went through. And, you know, they're in despair right now. So, yeah, I can, you know, I can, what do you say? I can
relate.
Feel this poem. Relate to this poem. Yeah, I can relate to it because, you know, people in my family are going through this right now, and young ones. And yeah, so I relate very heavily to this poem, and sad, sad reality indeed. So well written here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Weaver, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, by Stelina.
My pleasure. Look, I nearly forgot to unmute. I'm so proud I didn't. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I'm the one with the mute decision tonight.
Yeah, usually it's me, so you know, you've got my crown, Kat. Wear it with pride. Okay, I can be serious now. There's a wondrous world beyond the door, a secluded sanctuary of beauty and peace, where a fragrant fusion of boundless blooms is carried on the billowy breeze. Bacivorous bushes with sweet ripening fruit to furtively pick with the lulling drone of bumblebees, disinclining our natural need for haste. To leisurely stroll in early morn and rest a spell, to serenely soak up nature's delights, bedewed in dawn's beguiling blush, as we marvel at the sublime sights. A tryst where lovers may linger a while, far away from prying eyes, where tender kisses echo in evening's smile, along with ardent, amorous sighs. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, and what a lovely write. I mean, what a place to go to. You have a secret garden to go to, a wondrous world beyond the door, a secluded sanctuary of beauty and peace, where a fragrant fusion of boundless blooms is carried on the billowy breeze. I mean, that's so tender and just delightful, absolutely beautiful. It just shines, this whole poem. And I really like the way she ended it with, a tryst where lovers may linger a while, far away from prying eyes, where tender kisses echo an evening smile, along with amorous sighs. Yeah, just lovely, 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 lovely poem throughout. What did you think, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, she takes us on a beautiful romantic walk through a garden, doesn't she? You know, I want to go out there and stroll with her, you know, in the morning and then rest a spell, you know, and feel all that serenity, you know, that's in this poem, you know, that's the feeling that it's emitted from this poem. Just beautiful, beautiful, an amazing write here by Stelina, and so well deserving a front page pick indeed.
It sure is. And Weaver, you read the poem. What did you think?
Oh, it was a joy to read. It really was. Apart from my little stumble, I do apologize. I do come across words sometimes that I don't know. So I must apologize to Sabrina for that. But it was beautiful. It was just the words lilac, pink, serenity come into my head when I read this. I thought it was just a beautiful movement through the garden with the words. She took us along that path with her. And it was so gentle, so sweet. You didn't want anything to get in the way. So we're very happy that the bees were buzzing around. It showed that everything was peaceful. So I thought it was beautiful, Stelina. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Weaver. And Naomi, I'm going to grab the next poem, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please. Okay, here we go. Ooh, this is the infamous Arcana Amor.
The Fairy Summer Ball. Summer had just arrived to herald the fairy ball. An open invitation was already sent to all the forest dwellers that reside within this realm. Among the sheltered trees of beech, yew, oak, and elm. The clouds above were swirling. The grass below stood still. From every nook and cranny peered eyes from great and small. A woodpecker hammered a rhythm upon a towering tree. Every woodland creature rejoiced and watched with glee. The fairy folk were here to gift their magic touch. Only spied but once a year and rarely witnessed much. They all converged together in a clearing in the wood, dressed in all their finest, their purpose understood. Started with a bow and a curtsy to the side, then hand in hand they joined and took a forward stride. They twirled and pirouetted, making merry as they danced. Custodians of nature, whose presence were they enhanced. Oh, like tiny ballerinas, they moved with poise and grace, circling round a toadstool amidst their twirling race. Bluebells and daffodils swayed between the moss and ferns. Every living thing took part between their twists and turns, sharing in a toast that was drank from morning dew, the elves and pixies waltz, whilst the spirits brights and fairies slew. The sun smiled down in dapples as it splashed between the trees. The fairies danced until they fell exhausted to their knees. They paused to catch their breath as a silent stillness fell. The morning dew departed to share their tale to tell. The creatures took their leave back in the woods to hide. The fairies bowed and curtsied. The forest gently sighed. Then one by one they vanished in sparkling fairy dust that glittered on the air to be scattered by a gust. The scene serene and tranquil until the next time when they all appear next summer to dance their dance again. End poem.
Well, beautiful read, Naomi, and such a delightful poem. I mean, this could be read in classrooms to, school kids, for sure. I mean, it's just a delightful, very image-filled poem. I like the visions that it brought in my head. You said, the sun smiled down in dapples that splashed between the trees. The berries danced until they fell exhausted to their knees. Just such a fantastic image. I could just picture that, the sun splashing down between the trees. But everything else is just, just so gracefully written. It's got such a balm to it, that it's very inviting, and, you know, you want more of this world that he's written about. Beautiful job. What did you think, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, I can just imagine, you know, like you said, bringing this into the classroom and having students illustrate it, you know, with pictures. Boy, they'd have, you know, such a fun time, you know, drawing pixies and elves and you know, the flowers and the everything, you know, all the fairies and everything. This would be a real joy in a classroom for sure. Such a delightful write. And like you said, so elegantly, it flows so elegantly down the page. It was just a pure joy to read this. So bravo, and thank you so much, Arcana Amour. You know, what a beautiful, amazing write.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for commenting on the poem that you read. Weaver, what's your comment?
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. As Naomi said, it just flowed. I hope my mute button is working correctly, because I'm at the moment I seem to be trying to cough
you.
Up my lung.
Right. Hi, Luyu.
Oh,
hi, baby
Luyu.
Girl.
Hello, my darling. Hi, guys. Hello,
yes.
Handsome man.
Hi, Luyu. Thank you for calling in. Hope your mom's doing good.
She is. Thank you.
That's good. Weaver, were you finished commenting?
Yeah, basically, it was absolutely lovely. I loved it a lot. I loved and loved and loved it. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Luyu, what did you think of the poem that Naomi read?
You know, I've only read Arcana's dark poems. This was an absolute delicious delight for my eyes to hear and to read it. Just such a beautiful read you did. And, you know, congratulations on his front page picks and his awesome gold medal and silver that he so deserved for this fairy ball. You know, I wrote in the group that what makes me want to be a fairy and a pixie, too. I want to go in there and hang out with the woodland creatures.
Yeah.
Especially woodpeckers. I love, for some reason, I'm just enchanted with woodpeckers and daffodils and, you know, twirling and music and dancing and to be in this gorgeous, enchanted forest. And, you know, and then how they left and vanished in sparkling fairy dust that glittered on the air to be scattered by a gust. I mean, how can you not fall in love with this poem? It is striking. It is beautiful. And, you know, like everybody says, this could be read in school and written in a book on how to write enchantment poetry. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Luyu. Thank you. And Luyu, I'll post to the next poem, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Okay. Hold on. Let me look for it. Okay, I don't see it. Did you post it?
Yeah. You need to refresh.
Okay. I did. By Kate Crown?
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. I want to make sure. Congratulations, Kate Crown, on your front page pick. Zoo Menagerie by Kate Crown. Alligators, cheetahs who dart after, elephants who become frantic, watching gorillas, harassing the impalas who slammed into jumping, kangaroos, and the long-eared donkey bumped into the monkeys who squealed in fear as nebulous. Octopi and the porcupines that quailed with. Rattlesnakes slithered after the turtles who shuffled underground, all afraid of vultures who were wary of the xenophobic, yelping zookeeper. In the poem. So neat.
Pardon
me? Oh, It reads,
would you mind reading that?
With credit also to my language-loving daughter, whom I had a lot of fun figuring out the words to match this somewhat zany zoological theme. Not that all the animals in this poem necessarily belong in the zoo, but then for what that we can bless poetic license. For some reason, when writing this poem, brought up memories of my favorite classic, My Family and Other Animals by Jarrell Jarrell.
Thank you, Liu. I appreciate you reading the author's notes as well. But you did a beautiful job reading it. And, you know, I liked it. You know, it it flowed along quite beautifully. Everything rhymed and flowed. You know, you didn't take your eye off the ball the whole way through. And that's hard to do when you're doing these acrostics, and especially of an alphabet. That's just amazing. Beautiful job, and excellent read, Liu. Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, this is, as you say, it's not an easy thing to do, and to make it flow, and it certainly did. It was absolutely, like, I can imagine her and her daughter arguing about, like, what have we got for E, and what have we got for F, G, and it must have been great fun. But yes, it's very well written, and it flows beautifully, as you said, and all the little monkeys and squealing, and the octopi, and the porcupines. I hope the two didn't get together, can you imagine? Octopi and porcupine. Whew. Terrible. Anyway. Whew. Would have been needles at dawn. Yes, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, this is another great poem that, you know, belongs in a classroom, you know, to teach the kids their alphabet. You know, I'd love to have this with my French students, you know, French English learning students. Would be amazing job, you know, that just made me chuckle because it's so original and so cleverly put together. So, wow, bravo, Kay Crown.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Liu, what are your thoughts?
I see that she wrote this alphabet soup poem. And, you know, it's just amazing. You never know when your poems are going to be picked, the front page pick. And, you know, it always is a joy to have our poem on front page. But for me, it's an even greater joy to read everybody else's front page pick because it exposes me to them and their poetry that I may have not read before, or I have read their poetry before. And this was delightful. It was enjoyable. The best ABC alphabet zoology animal poem I have read. It was just truly, truly delightful because of vultures. We're wary of the xenophobic yelping zookeepers. You know, just where she went with this was just, how could you not smile?
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Liu. Thank you. And thank you for reading as well. You did a beautiful job. All righty. I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is called Patria. And it is by Eugenium. Patria. Far from the capital, where weeds flourish at the road's dick edge, and grass grows high until it seeds, and moorhens nestle by withered sedge. Life's pace slackens, the wind drops, and the warm air lingers in the brindled shade of every brake and copse, the hedgerows of each dell and glade. Here, where hairs eaten, ears stiffen, as they halt to savor the breeze, and watch and keenly listen on the grassy hammocks of the leas, where bumblebees hive in stumps, and voles and russet foxes go to ground, in the deep earth of the woodland holes, at the bay of horn and hound. The paths bend where folk have walked for centuries, to parish or hall, farm or alehouses, or places where forked ways part them with a farewell call, towards cottage homes or to tryst with lovers in moonlit leafy bowers where dog rose with wild myrtle twists and barn owl keeps the late night hours. Here in this place where Jack still knows old Sam and Jane was wed to Sam's grandson Bill a year or two back and as much was drunk and said, that was the wisdom of the old coinage. Not newly minted wit, but sense of the hand-me-down imperial gauge, the pounds, shillings, and pence. Of learning, we no longer reckon with that comes from being anchored deep as trees to where the primal weald or kith are to kin, deep, deep asleep. Here the wind still paces the fields like Jehovah, his great gated Eden, proud of its annual harvest yields, its orchard crops, its cattle breeding and husbandry, its stable hands with fine equine arts, its farriers and smiths, its mercers with cloths of homely brands, its tanners, coopers, channelers, peasant myths, folklore, pageants and heraldry, rituals and superstitious fears, distrust of devilish Romish ceremony and remembrance of the years, and reigns of England's kings and queens. Here the old ways still hold fast, and the past stays new and brightly seems, and will do so until the very last. For here is Albion's national memory of what she was and might, should fortunes change, forever be a vision glimpsed in the pastoral twilight by the ancient stones on Salisbury Plain, or at dusk by an Anglo-Saxon barrow mound where some still whisper Arthur's name and claim he slumbers underground. End poem. Wow, that was a talented write. You know, it had distinctive language in it, and I really liked the way he caught the era that he was writing about. Here the wind still paces the fields like Jehovah, his old great Eden, proud of its annual harvest yields, its orchard crops, its cattle breeding. You know, that's just fantastic language there. And I also like the penultimate stanzas. For here is Albion's national memory of what she was and might, should fortunes change, forever be a vision glimpsed in the pastoral twilight by the ancient stones on Salisbury Plain, or at dusk by an Anglo-Saxon burial mound where some still whisper Arthur's name and claim he slumbers underground. Beautiful, powerful, right? And delightful to read. What did you think, Weaver?
I agree with you totally. I'm sorry, my voice is getting very croaky. I do apologize. Yeah, I thought it just took you, again, on a journey. It moved and brought together all the things that would have been the way they were in those days. So the language built the storyline for you. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And like you, you know what I'm like. The last stanza is always my favorite. But you know, the thought, everybody still thinks they're going to be able to find where Arthur was buried. I mean, it's never going to happen, but it's still there, isn't it? Keep on trying. Yeah, I thought it evoked for me what it must have been like to live in that particular time. Oh, it must have been hard. It must have been really hard. But it was beautifully put together, so thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. I appreciate the comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I just love this poem. Wow. And, you know, there's still places that like this that exist, you know, around, you know, places, these tiny villages where, you know, if I take the Gaspé where I grew up, you know, where, you know, they're so traditional still, and you know, everybody knows each other, and you know, that they marry each other, you know, there's just a sense of community and this sense of richness, you know, of their culture and their language and their traditions. And so, you know, this is just amazing. It brought back, you know, memories of me growing up and, you know, those small villages that are so beautiful and the people are so warm and loving. And, yeah, so amazing, amazing ride here.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Louie, welcome back.
Thank you. You know, this took me back to times gone past. That, you know, I remember while I was living in Europe how they still have these old houses and villages that have been standing for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years. And, you know, just so you guys know who Albanant, you know, this has to do with King Arthur. It says that Albanant is the land of King Arthur's heirs. Herbania is based on Irish Celtic legends with a dash of high fantasy. Midgard follows the Viking Norse sagas and legends from the rolling hills of Camelot to the mountainous peaks of Snowdonia. Albanant is the land of King Arthur where he wanted to unite everyone. I thought this was just absolutely fascinating. It took me back to a past that we could so easily see and visualize in our minds. You know, it's well crafted, and I enjoyed reading these memories of Albanant and King Arthur. Well penned, and congratulations on your front page pick.
Wonderful comment, thank you. And I'd like to welcome area code 703, and that is either Bobby or I can't think of his name.
Who is it? Who is it?
It could be Tom.
Yes.
Oh, hi, Bobby.
Hi. Hey, Bobby. Oh, I just love
hi, Bobby.
Girls on here. Naomi and Beaver and Bobby.
Thank you.
I'm so lucky.
I feel a hug. I feel a hug.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi. Oh, you're back.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Good.
I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, but still fighting this thing, I tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, sometimes it takes a month to go away or longer, so I hope that you continually to get better.
No, it took me the whole year of 2020 to get rid of it. Now it's back. So,
yeah.
But I was hoping I could – I was having problems with a sore throat, and I was hoping I could at least beat it down enough to where I could call in and say hi.
Oh, boy.
Hi.
Well, we appreciate you, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem that was read?
No, I'm sorry I didn't, because it sounds like it was marvelous.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. Very, very well written. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And Bobby, if you wouldn't mind reading this, please.
No, not at all. I'm going to find the inbox, and there's the inbox. Now let me refresh. There we go. And I'm looking at I'm looking at something. I don't see it posted yet.
Yeah, just one
maybe you have to read it.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Palm fronds.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm hearing answers that I don't understand. Okay, here we go. Palm fronds sway. Palm fronds sway in a tepid evening breeze. Aqua waves race to gift trinkets for shell seekers' collections. Fritigris Islands on the distant horizon salute sky. Silvery dolphins leap from Caribbean blue. The lone gull sits upon white sands. Waves ebb and flow. White clouds soar amid blue-hued skies. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. But, you know, I was transported into the right, you know, to this place. It really carried you aloft on the winds of this sea breeze that she carries on her poem. Just a fabulous, right? Just you know, it's short, but it's beautiful, just totally beautiful throughout. And Weaver, what did you think?
Well, the picture is absolutely beautiful, so you can imagine how much fun it was to draw out this lovely piece of poetry from it. I mean, it is. I'm just thinking, oh, Pam Frons, how lovely would that be? But I particularly liked, excuse me, to gift trinkets for Shell Seekers collections. Isn't that lovely? It's a beautiful way to put it. And I thought the whole thing was absolutely beautiful. But again, we have that last beautiful stanza. A lone gull sits upon white sands. Waves ebb and flow. White clouds soar amidst blue, huge skies. Just very peaceful, very languid. You can imagine just how comfortable you would be with your feet getting washed by the waves and the sun beating down. And the palm frond, of course, because there has to be somebody who's there who's waving them for her. So, great. I thought it was wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this one makes you long for a stress-free vacation, doesn't it? You just want to go there. Yeah, and just sit on that beach and just, you know, wave to that lone gull. Give him some love. But, yeah, just beautiful imagery all through, you know, with simple language. But, you know, so elegantly written and so, you know, very powerful piece to pull out, you know, emotion, beautiful, beautiful imagery all throughout. So bravo written stuff, you know, it's beautiful, you know, absolutely formidable, this piece. So bravo.
Great comment. Thank you. And, Lee, what did you think?
I thought Bobby did a fabulous job in reading this poem. And congratulations also on your front page pick, writing stuff. When I was listening to her read this, it made me think I wanted to go lay down in some white sands with my collection of shells that I picked up with a cold drink and to just have somebody take one of those palm fronds and just wave it over me with the cool breeze, letting me smell the sea and the salt and the ocean. And this was so inviting. How could you not want to wish you were there? Excellent, beautiful descriptions and poem. Who's with me?
Great comment, thank you. And Bobby, you read it. What did you think?
I think I'd like to tape the picture to the inside of my eyelids.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
I that way I can always see it. It is so serene. It's such a beautiful picture, and the way the description is so it's so rich. I mean, it does look like Grace said. It takes you right in, and the colors are just You know, it's breathtaking to look at something like this and think that nature created it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good comments, Bobby. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. And then we'll paste this into the group. If I can find the group, here we go. All right, this is called Scum by Babbler. Scum, skimming scum from the sun, waxy wasteland, getting wasted, sipping on suds, cussing on a bar of soap, bubbling down my throat, lauryl sulfate libation, suffocant soda, gulp, 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 foaming at the mouth, rabid, Cujo on a run-of-the-mill Tuesday, before the shotgun took him to the barn, cross dicks, fetch bones, knick-knack, paddywhack, a drunk man stumbles home, tripping on his shoes, tripping on a cube, sugar, sugar, everywhere, diabetes, die of beetles, die of beetles, dire beatings, deep purple red, swirling through my head, there's no knowing where they're rowing or which way the river's flowing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 for those rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they're slowing. I have never felt so clean. End poem. And this will get into a prompt. Random side, my story. My mother only washed my mouth out for cussing once, and not because I didn't swear. It was for calling my sister's boyfriend a scumbag when he made her cry on her birthday. Wow. That's a bit of a haunting poem. I liked it, though. I mean, I liked it. It had an excellent flow to it, captivating imagery. You could feel the emotions through the diabetes, deep purple red swirling through my head, when you're in that kind of a state, that's horrible. And but then, there's no knowing which way they're rowing or which way the river's flowing. And then row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. But beautiful, right? Very engaging. What did you think, Weaver?
Yes, you put it so succinctly. It was really one of these that you really want to keep on reading. I liked it. I thought it was very, very clever. The use of the words and the shaping of the stanzas I thought was great. But I love the cue you on a run of the mill Tuesday before the shotgun took him to the farm. Oh dear. Cross sticks, fetch bones, knick-knack, paddywhack, a drunk man stumbles home. The tune comes in to it every so often, like it did there and it did towards the end. That tune of that particular song appears, like knick-knack, paddywhack, a drunk man stumbles home. Very clever. Tripping on shoes, tripping on a cube. Sugar, sugar everywhere. And then it goes on to that beautiful alliteration with the D sound. I thought it was a work of art. And thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for commenting. I appreciate it. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved how she incorporated, those children rhymes in there too. And, Babbler's such a talented writer, one that I really admire for her, unique cleverness in her writes, and the way she just pulls everything together is just phenomenal. But, this is so neat, and I just love how she finishes with, I've never felt so clean, even after... She called the boyfriend a scumbag, which he probably really deserved. So, yeah, she felt clean. But amazing, amazing right here. I just love the flow and of course, the amazing alliteration throughout is just to die for. So, amazing right, Babbler. Bravo.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Louie, what are your
great
thoughts?
Great singing, too, Gray.
You did a fantastic job in reading this poem by Babbler. She was writing about her childhood. I really can't say exactly. She says that her sister was 19 years older than her, and she was 24 when Babbler was only a cute 5 years old. And she said that her boyfriend found out that she was two-timing him, so he let her know about gifting her a giant, disgusting present. And told her to she know where she could go. And, she says he was a scumbag. She wasn't innocent either. Life is complicated. But, when you find out something from somebody, you can hold your head up high and just walk away from them. You don't have to be nasty where, like in the old days, they used to put signs on the back of people's backs that you would hit or kick them or, just humiliate them in front of public and, it's just some people cannot deal with being hurt, and they become meaner than you can ever think, and they will try and dig it in as deep as they can. And I agree with Babbler. He was a scumbag. because what he, you know, she went back into these old ancient ways of punishment that we were punished as children. And of course we remember the, you know, the child rhymes, because that was taught to us in school and in the books we read. And, you know, it's just talking about how life is, you know, you just, you know, you get your mouth washed out with soap or lauryl sulfate, which we know is not good for us. And, you know, that knick-knack paddywhack of, you know, that constant give and take and give, and just, you know, just being mean to each other. And, you know, sugar, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, but too much sugar and too many mistakes does cause diabetes. Enjoyable. And I agree with everybody. He's a scumbag.
Yeah.
Well, Penn Pablo, congratulations.
Thank you to you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was a very sophisticated write.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a pastiche here of a lot of different things that she has knitted together so skillfully. You've got references to nursery rhymes. You've got some song lyrics here from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where the boat is disappearing, and the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they're slowing. And that's from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it is. You've got row, row, row your boat here. And plus the fact that you've got some very dexterous word play here. Diabetes, mm-hmm. die of beatus, dire beatings, deep purple. That is really impressive, the way she has shifted the emphasis and the different the soundings of the words. And then even before that, she's gone into a breakdown, a scientific breakdown of soap. You know, you got lauryl sulfate libation, surfactant soda. And a surfactant is something that breaks the surface tension on water and allows water to be wetter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and this is a very layered, very sophisticated, very complex right. I would have liked to have been kind of sitting in the corner of her mind when this was going on.
Yeah.
Really?
Agreed.
Absolutely fascinating the way she's done this. This is superb. And no damn wonder it was a front page pick.
Yeah, absolutely. So the next poem is really long.
Do you want to ask Frank to comment just in case, Gray? He heard the poem?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Frank? Welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hi,
friend.
Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Hey,
I was just
Frank
in the corner
here.
There, just listening to all of you in the corner there. I think the poem, you know, well, I've been listening, you know, I've been keenly observing, actually listening to what the comments here. You know, I do agree with what's been said, in particular the whole notion of what, you know, that what Lou is saying about the difference of years, you know. I don't have that long of a gap with my younger brother, but there is a gap. So there is a sense of where you relate to a, you know, different age period and you see things
mm-hmm.
differently.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
There's one notion. I know we talked about, there's been touched about different references here to, you know, things that we familiarize. And the one thing that came to me, which was from an old film flick, I would say, Cujo. Cujo was,
oh, yeah.
was one of these, I do recall that film. It was one of my favorites at the time when I was really, really small. But I do remember that dog terrorized, and it does have, and up to this day, I still have to look around and see if there's no Cujo about, you know. But I thought,
yeah,
no, it's true. Well, what it was about a year ago, I did get attacked by a dog. Fortunately for me, it was my neighbor's dog, but a pit bull, and I was fortunate for that nothing happened out of that. But it, I do have a little bit of, I'm a bit wary when it comes to walking my dog, and I always look around for dogs. So
yes.
Getting back to the poem itself, first of all, Gray did a fantastic read there. I like that little saying you did, row, row down your boat. I spent years, so I heard that nursery rhyme there. But you did a fantastic job. And I think the poem itself by Butler was very empowering.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Frank, and welcome to the show.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right, since it's after 8 o'clock, I'm going to put up the caller's poems. And Frank, you just called in, so I'm going to play your poem.
All right. Just a discretion here. Hopefully nobody gets scared here.
There we go. Okay, you've got The Light Bulb by Poetic Picasso, and there's a SoundCloud for that, so I'll play that.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Let the horror begin now! Helpless souls of purgatory remain trapped within the ebony ashes. The rows of hoary bones and skulls bleed, and a heavy heap of snow. Christmas Eve is the night the stalker of human souls roams, the solitary rows of dilapidated tombstones of the mourners. A fable shuttle from amongst the alabaster mist emerges, searching to quench his thirst of inland victims perished. Fear sustains his dark presence, for he is the ominous warning, as the hand of the clock strikes the loud clangor resounding. From the metallic bells within the wooden belfry of the cathedral, in the large porcelain figures of the angels drop tears of acid rain, as the creepy shade of a daunting demon flies above them like a crow, with such a horripilation of dread tingling down my startled spine. I can see the guise clearly of the ghostly pallor of his evil eyes, feel the deep air of his cold breath reaching the edge of my stiff neck, as I stared into the image of domination and its inexcrutable horror flashing, the abomination of the dreadful curse of the wind-blown winter. The midnight hours arrived and the eerie echoes of his voice, ah, here. And I sense I'm slowly being pulled into the hypnotizing light bulb scene. I try to resist this insanity mightily, but I'm fading away from this world. I cannot escape the terrible sounds of his bloody laughter forsaken me. A light bulb explodes. Good God, am I losing my mind? This is only a horrendous dream. No! No! End of poem.
And what a poem it was. What a fantastic poem. Beautiful job.
I
really liked
that.
It. I mean, the poem. It's powerful. It's powerfully engaging. I mean, you're carried off into this presentation that you've written, and it just takes you off into this place of damnation and inscrutable horror flashing, the abomination of the dreadful, the curse of the wind-blown winter. Just a haunting, haunting poem. Epic. Epic is all I got
to say. Oh, I appreciate that. And I have to say really quickly, I love, I'm sure of us know about the Twilight. One of my favorite, I would say, narrators there. And the Twilight Zone is always one of my favorite shows. So I'm giving a little bit of, I would say, inspiration there. I took from that series there, and from him, of course, as well. A little story I created here from that.
Well, yeah, that's pretty amazing. Thank
in the mood
you.
Too. Thanks very much.
And your laughter, is that yours or is it?
No, it's mine. It's mine. No, it's mine. I mean, as an actor, I have five ranges of voices that I can do. I can even do a female voice, you know, if I give it some stop there, if I give it some time. But I have like five ranges of voices.
That would
one
be
of those
really
voices.
Scary, Frank.
Oh, what if, yeah, well, that's true there. But that voice that
like
I,
woman,
that,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. that voice that I did right there was another voice change that I did at one of the ranges where I have my voices there. But it's my voice there. And yes, I do have fun doing this type of holy type of sound clubs there. And I do scare my poor chihuahua times, unfortunately. She somewhat wonders if I'm real or not. She's completely laughing there.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, yeah. I shouldn't be so cruel.
Amazing
there. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Hello, I was on mute again. Yes, Frank, that was amazing. Wow, you scared the bejesus out of me. That laughter. I nearly took my headphones off because I thought if he does that again, I'm out the room. Amazing. I loved it. Scary. Oh, get out, honestly. Very, very well done. My particular standard that I love, Sable Shadow from amongst the alabaster mist emerges, searching to quench his thirst of endless victims perished. Very good. Really is. You have a wonderful way with words. Off you good, pal.
Sure it is.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, it was most enjoyable. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
I hope I didn't spook you there, my dear.
You did. You spooked me.
Well, yeah, you're sitting in the dark, too. It's dark where you are. Well, I guess it is everywhere, pretty much. But fantastic comment, Beaver. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're going mad, Frank. Are you going mad?
Well, you know, on a given day, I am.
This is like a mad man speaking. Oh, my gracious, and all from a light bulb. Oh, wow, you know, so clever. What a clever, you know. Right, you know, amazing, you know, how you put all this together with the inspiration of a light bulb, you know, just a amazing, amazing right all the way through. And yeah, it spooked me too. So I had the phone down, you know, and I was reading along, but I still heard your voice and I was like, my gracious, he's going crazy. But, you know, just an amazing, amazing, right, Frank, all the way through.
That.
I just, you know, was so captivated by it. Thank you.
Well, have you ever seen me on stage there, you'll get a real glimpse of what I can do when it comes to scaring people.
Thank you for that, Naomi. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my God. This was just horrifying. There is no way I could have listened to you read this in public. You know, especially when I was a child, I would have covered my ears and went, la, 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 la. This is terrifying because, you know, we all know that those shadows in the dark, you know, they burst in electricity and light flicker and, you know, light bulb, and then just to know that I can see the guys clearly of the ghostly pallor of his evil eyes, and then your laugh. I mean, this is just skilled poetry, skilled acting, and it was just like everybody else. It is fantastic because, you know, that twilight zone, you know, they always made you question everything. Is it really happening or am I literally going insane? Am I dreaming? And then you realize, no, I'm not dreaming, you know, and then to be horribly terrified, you know, having this just around you. And then to hear the sounds and the laughter and, you know, how could you not be frightened by something like this? Excellent poem. Fantastic read, Francisco.
Grazie. Thank you very much, sir.
Wonderful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I forgot about Bobby there.
No scripture
this
time.
Oh my God.
This was quite the story here. Very involved, a lot of detail, very carefully woven. It catches you up and carries you along. I really enjoyed the atmospherics in it. You've done a very, very fine job on this. I really, it's a very effective piece.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, sir.
Good comment. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Frank.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And it's Halloween. That's the reason why Halloween. I have one Monday, too. I'll see if I can find one for Monday, too. Hopefully, you're not all spooked, you know. I'll put one up there if you're not all spooked there.
just to let everybody know, all next week will be Halloween week. I will be writing and hosting with Gray on Wednesday, and Robert has my show for Monday. So please show some support, write and comment and hang out with Arcalius, which is our dear old Robert, on Monday.
Absolutely. Okay, so this next poem that I have is really long, so I'm going to skip it for now, and we'll go to Leila. And if you wouldn't mind reading for me, please, Weaver.
Yes, of course. Just going to get it up and refresh. I feel refreshed. Got it. Yay. I love it when things go right. Right, this beggar's night. Like night, like death. Be quiet. Be the upper near the nether region, from copper wires at the bottom of the river, from the roots of water. The wrath is thrown to the ground that brought a revolver to the temple, in anger defiled by some Iserum primitiveness, the hunger of green blood. Combat boots, all horseshoes buried in the spine, with to the womb. The night, the burping vampire. A brothel night from the past. The cesarean of the uterus of things, a desire for a world that is spit out. Four walls and a bastard, all that fever, and all around, emptiness among the pigs. Through the seventh hole at the end of the flute, through rotten rags of sputum, the beggar fell into the mud quite fresh. The night, this impossibility of light, her rotten rags stained with violent shadows, her shod shoes like open cemeteries. We buried her in that toga pula, and it's all mud, and here are the rooms by which the brains in semi-darkness rot. The old scars rebelled. They did not spring in fear nor tremble, and let evil sing with owned words, measuring life like measuring death. Boiling wax from the nostrils of an enraged angel. A mountain that does not call upon God, but on Hamlet's waiting, smoking and puking, a saturnine gob, muttering phosphorus from fiery insomnia, firefly bursting, eternally in existence, unknowing. End poem.
Wonderful read. And Lulu, I got to give you crap. There was a SoundCloud for that, but you didn't post that. You said reader.
Sweetheart, it's your show. You're supposed to check it yourself. I did all the work for you. All you had to do was look to see if there was recordings or not. Don't be pointing fingers at me because I will point back.
Well,
I mean, booger boy.
Yeah. So I apologize to Layla for not having her SoundCloud on board tonight with this read. It was a fantastic, image-filled, metaphoric, rich, and engaging poem with a sadness and a melancholy flowing through it. Just beautifully crafted. What did you think, Naomi? Hello, Naomi?
Naomi, are you on mute, Naomi?
Maybe she's dropped.
Naomi, is that here? She said she'll be right back.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you. Lee, what did you think?
I thought this was a powerful, powerful poem with just amazing imagery and wording. You know, she was talking about Hamlet, but, you know, the backstabbing, you know, Hamlet, you know, and right here, I just loved where she said, the old scars rebel, they do not spring and dare not tremble, and let evil sing with own words, measuring life like measuring death, boiling wax from the nostrils of an enraged angel. You know, you know how they talk about the angels watch what's going, and it just enrages them the way that they see how humans treat humans. And I just thought this was spectacular. Her wording was fantastic. And congratulations on the front page pick, Leela. Back to you, Greg.
Thank you, Leela. And Bobby, what did you think?
Was that a call from my...
Yes.
Oh, all right. I wasn't sure. I enjoyed it. Again, some marvelous storytelling tonight. Lots of attention to detail. Very well woven. I mean, it gives you a lot of atmospherics that you can relate to and enjoy. Words, her shod shoes like open cemeteries. What an interesting line. I mean, we buried her in that toga, and it's all mud, and here are the roots. It's just the details really, really they embellish a very good piece and make it even more fascinating. So I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what did you think?
Anyway, fortunately, I did go through this period of time when I was a beggar once, and so it did make me think about that. But I think when you think about what life brings you and how it affects you, and you know, you really don't realize, you know, to what extent a poem like this really means, you know, until you actually experience something like this. This is such profound emotions. It's just empowering. I thought the metaphors were striking. I like the analogy to Hamlet as well. But I like that notion of the enraged angel. It's a metaphorical reference there, but sometimes we talk about a guardian angel, perhaps this is in some extent, how perhaps that angel is enraged by society's, I guess, negligence of what, you know, how people who are on the street, you know, whether it's for a short period of time or for a long time, what they suffer. Sometimes we are oblivious or impartial to that, and they expect poems like this to really root out the sentiments in us. And I would hope that this type of poetry makes us reflect more on what is real, what's more meaningful, and what's endearing to all of us as humans. That's about it. Great poem. Great read.
Thank you, Frank. Wonderful comment.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your light with us. When we get those personal moments, we get more of an insight into the people that we're hanging out with, you know. I know a lot about
True.
From these radio shows and what they share about their personal lives from the poem that inspired the sharing of those thoughts. So, you know, I love you all, and it's beautiful to be with you. So thank you for being with me tonight. And welcome back, Naomi. Would you like to comment on the poem?
Yeah. Sorry, I kind of missed it. I had to run for a few minutes there. But, yeah, I kind of missed it. But I'll leave
okay.
a written comment.
Get
I'll
you next time.
After.
Yeah, we'll get you next time. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Did I read it? Oh, blimey. Did I? Oh, good.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware. My life goes past me so quickly. I honestly, okay, well, I did a good job, yeah? Did I? No. I thought
yeah.
it was wonderful. I thought it was really, it is so, there are so many things in here that you can grab hold of and you can actually, you know, in itself, they're a story. The wrath had thrown to the ground that brought a revolver to the temple in anger defiled by isotherm primitives. I can't say that word. The hunger of green blood. Combat boots, all horseshoes buried in the spine with breasts parted to the womb. That's a revelation. That is very, very good. I like short poems, but I do love long ones because you have so much more time, you know, to build it and get into the story and get into the poem. And I thought this was just, some of it was a little bit icky, but that's just me. Smoking and puking. Oh, not so much. But yes, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was so well done. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. That was a wonderful comment. Okay, I've got the next poem up, Naomi, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, this is by Melanie Edwards, Juneberry. Smokestacks choke, shuffling into another line, dropping a yellowed card into a rusty box. Night falls over dark raven eyes. Blowing smoke rings, a Juneberry bends to the wind. Heavy pistons hammer out a gold coin for the toil. Closing tall ember doors, tracks drip from a burning bridge. A gray ash coats a frosted lawn. End poem.
Great, great read. And just his author's notes, he says, "Oh my, no idea if this represents me well. No idea if anyone will like my poems before first comment." So a very interesting comment. I mean, contest. It's definitely filled with fantastic imagery, like smokestacks choke, shuffling into one another, dropping a yellow card into a rusty box. You know, you can picture industry and, you know, living the factory life, and the smoke, you know, the smoke sacks are choking you out as they cover the land. And, you know, then the final stanza, you know, it's very metaphoric, but it's engaging. You know, you can picture it all as you read it. So, yeah, beautiful write and a fantastic read, Naomi. Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, I agree. There is so much in this. So well done. Again, you know, you've got a poem packed so much into it. And the imagery, oh, wonderful. Smokestacks choke, shuffling into another line, dropping a yellowed card into a rusty box. Night falls over dark raven eyes. So that is a long day, obviously a long day. But blowing smoke rings, the Juneberry bends to the wind, and heavy piston hammer out a gold coin for the toll. That's very good. Yes, it's one that I would have to think a lot about. I don't think I'm getting as much from it as I should, but I'll read it again. And I thought it was very well done. So thank you, Melanie, for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I really so enjoyed this poem so much by Melanie Edwards. And congratulations on this poem, Juneberry. You know, it just reminded me how when you walk out of your house And, you know, depending where you live, it's the visions that you see or the places that you visit. You know, you're going out your door and you see the smokestacks. Usually this is from people burning their fireplaces, and, you know, it also could be factories. You know, and how you just, you walk into the mailbox and you drop in your card, you know, because at those days, computers were not something where we could write emails or send private messages. We wrote letters and they were dropped in mailboxes, and this brought back wonderful memories. And, you know, I could just see her raven eyes looking at everything. And then, you know, when you walk, a lot of people, when I was growing up, used to grow lots of blueberries, Juneberries, mulberries. You know, they just grew, and they grew wild. And just to pick them up and taste them in the sweetness. And, you know, you just keep going, and pistons of trains and engines are moving, and you got to pay the bus man the golden toll so you don't have to walk. And, you know, and it just tracks down, and, you know, you just look after where you walk, you just look at what you're passing, how the frost is just starting to coat the lawn. And, and I could just see how she could see this. And it was wonderful. You know, she says that it's a sad poem and it's about death. And, you know, things all die in wintertime and they all reblossom and make more June berries the next year. Lovely, wonderful poem and excellent read.
Thank you, Leah. All right. Bobby, what did you think?
You've got some really fantastic poetry coming at you this evening, and this is no exception, a very affecting piece, very complex for such a short piece. And I really enjoyed this. I'm enjoying everyone's storytelling tonight because they're really trotting out their storytelling talents, and it makes for the feeling of we're all sitting around the campfire, you know, drinking something warm and enjoying each mm-hmm. other's company and all the spookiness that goes with it.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
You know, I haven't had much of a opportunity to taste the June berries over here in the States yet, much particular on that as well. But I like the whole notion here of what, nature, you know, and its beauty, you know, what it represents and what it represents to you and how you can encompass of such a sort as a June berry and how it affects you, you know. It's a really, you know, it's not long a poem. It's almost like a brevity in a sense, but it really has a lot of striking mm-hmm. metaphors and imagery that really are haunting, particularly the end. But it was a fantastic reading, a fantastic poem.
Great comment, Frank. Thank you. And Naomi, would you like to comment?
Yeah, you know, this is superb in the imagery and the emotion that it evokes, you know. The passing of the season, the dying of things, you know, when winter passes over, makes me think of, you know, when we have the gray that covers the lawn there, makes me think of when we have, because we're surrounded here in Canada, as you are, gray, probably, by a forest, you know. And when we have the wild forest fires, and, you know, the smoke brings all the gray soot all over and covers our cars and covers, our lawns and everything. So, yeah, it made me think of that. But, you know, amazing, amazing right. Bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And that's it. Okay. So I'm going to close to the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, just to let you know that this is my German sister, and this was written with the memories that I spent with her and her family that adopted me, and I miss and I love them all. And this is titled For My Beatrice. Tag Bisnacht, fragrant in orange and lemon peels, gleaming hanging above illumination. Your red highlights blend in the embrace of dark strands embellished in lacy snowflakes. Roaming cobbles, street laughter, crinkling bags of roasting nuts shared, steam lifts from heated red wine and cloves, cardamom, cinnamon, star anise, and allspice. Cupped hands of mulled Glühwein drifting between wooden stalls beneath the highest steeple where the hand-blown glass ornament reflected happiness. Oceans divide, loving devotion never subsides. Strolling their Monsterplatz square, ich liebe dich, mein Beatrice. End poem.
Beautiful read, Liu. That's a lovely poem. I was carried aloft to this place, and you know, I could picture
all
this.
Yeah, that's the actual picture where we were and where we would visit. Yeah. That's the actual place where I lived with them. Thank you.
It's just such a lovely poem. You know, you can feel your love in the words for this place, and it just shines through brilliantly. So thank you for sharing, Liu. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, that was just so lovely. And I could feel the emotion, hear the emotion in your words. It was you conveyed it beautifully. And thank you very much for giving me the recipe for mulled wine, which will be very handy.
You're going to love it, girlfriend.
I'm sure I will. I mean, you take
Let
wine
me know
and you
how
make it.
Tastes.
I will.
Thank you.
You take wine and you make it warm, and it must warm your whole body. If you're really, really thirsty and you take that first drink of water and you can feel it flooding your body, I imagine that would be the same with this on a cold night. That would just flood your body with warmth, and it smells wonderful. What great memories to have. Great memories. I think that's just, you know, you've got that. Memories are wonderful because it doesn't matter how many years have passed or how long it's been since you've met with someone. The memories brings it all back to you, and you can enjoy again. That loving devotion never subsides, and that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Katie. Besitos.
Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this is beautiful, Luyu. You know, I just loved roaming cobbled street laughter, crinkling bags of roasting nuts shared, steam lifts from heated red wine and cloves, cardamom, cinnamon, star anise, and allspice. You know, and all through, just wow, beautiful memories shared here. Thank you so much for this poem tonight. Just amazing.
Thank you, Naomi.
Besito también. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I can't help but echo whatever everyone else is saying. It's so lovely, and the atmosphere, and it's a very intimate piece. And you've welcomed us into your life and shared a little bit of it with us, and I think it's very touching.
Thank you, Bobby. Kisses.
Thank you, Bob. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
It's my German to be, ich liebe Dietrich Gedich. I love this poem. So,
danke schön.
Yeah, my German is, my Dutch is much better than my German. But seriously, this poem here really takes me down to memory lane as well. You know, going back and forth from the States to Europe, back and forth throughout all my years, it has made me wonder, you know, what I miss from one place to another. And particularly now that I'm in the States here, I do miss so much Europe, and you brought those memories there. I've not been to Germany, but perhaps one day I shall go. But it's just a wonderful expression of what love really means when you honestly have people in your life that need something. And I do hope that this person here, if she's alive, still is in your life there, Lou. And I hope that the memories that you've shared of this family here are never lost. I know time clicks and time goes on, and the years do, but those memories got to stay on. You can't let go of those memories. And I'll end it here with red wine. I'm going to ask you, are you sure you didn't go to Spain there with red wine?
I love sangria. Gracias, you. Danke schön. Besitos.
You're welcome. That great poem, beautiful.
Sorry. So, Bobby, if you wouldn't mind reading for this next fantastic poet, that would be great.
You like doing that, don't you? No, I think I can be persuaded to read
Can't
this one.
We met you the other day there, Bobby.
Oh, I think I'm going to love this one, Miss Bobby. Yes, speaking to my bloodline.
Yeah. Ballad of the Blood Moon Shifting. It beheld blood moon rise in a gloom as black as pitch. Neath star-pocked ebony skies, it stood waiting in the garden of the witch. Amid trees, like gaunt black towers whose branches wailed and groaned and wakened the ancestral powers as a ghastly howl was intoned. It was an ancient terror that made the blood run chill. Blood moon, ill tidings bearer, when the shifting cursed lose their will. Under malevolent enchantment, the cursed figure bound, under moonrise, bloodthirsty, rampant, doomed as a hellish hound. All doors are bolted, shutters shut tight. Superstitious townsfolk, too wary, knowing venturing forth this ill-fated night would yield the horror its query. While these were ensorcelled seasons where woods and glen held fey doom, the beast prowled for other reasons, wandering arboreal gloom. It sings of its heartache in pitch shadow, vainly in search of its leaf. Each bay and each roll in blood moon glow, a full-throated howl of grief. In the throes of her lunatic madness, his dearest mate was cruelly slain. His nocturnal canticle, now sadness, wrought by full moon's relic pain. Come to me, beloved, his cries declare. Hear stories of the night and the stars, for I sing of the passion and love shared in the transient souls that were ours. Now remembrance, his curse in the blood moon, as longings for his mate drive him home. Woefully, he howls mournful ruin, brokenhearted, as he roams alone. This night, hear the vigilant townsfolk all cower behind bolted doors, while house fires they fearfully stoke, dreading a man that walks on all fours. The next morning's light, a faint human footprint near some paw prints their searches reveal. They embroider the tale, but they've no hint. It's a story of the heart that can't heal.
Bobby?
Yes, ma'am?
Bobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you please read your author's notes? Because I think, there he is. Can you please read your author's notes?
Oh, sure. A leaf is an archaic term for the beloved or the dear person, and I used the story of Lenore by Edgar Allan Poe. The piece takes the essence of the dead Lenore and weaves it with the werewolf legend. The werewolf is a pitiable creature whose mate was slain by the townfolk out of fear, and he now mourns her loss. Reminders of her brought on by his shifting under the blood moon.
Well, you did a wonderful job combining those two stories.
Thank you.
It's dark and it's beautiful. I mean, you know, it's tragic, but it the love, that eternal love shines through, and ethereal, deep, dark, bright, beautiful job.
Thank you.
We will look at you. Thank you. Absolutely.
Oh, I thought it was wonderfully done. Yes, I could just imagine the dark night and people cowering behind the locked doors, knowing what they've done, and then that howl, that mournful howl. Oh, so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why he'd be brokenhearted. Terrible, terrible way to be. So basically he's not safe, and nobody he loves is safe. So, you know, you think, don't be around these people, go away. But that last stanza, in next morning's light, a faint human footprint, near some paw prints, their searches reveal. They embroider the tale, but they have no hint. It's a story of a heart that can't heal. Oh, very poignant and lovely. And thank you so much for sharing that, Bobby. It was a lovely read.
Absolutely. Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is so cleverly put together and thought out, Bobby, that, you know, you join those, the Lenore from Edgar Allan Poe with this tale here, and, you know, created this poem out of it, you know, that flows just so divinely down the page, and it's so captivating all through. You know, just, you know, amazing imagery, and the flow and the rhyme is just impeccable. And, you know, just captivated me entirely, drew me in, and I was hanging on to your every word. So just so beautifully written. Bravo, Bobby.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And, Mimi, what did you think?
Oh, Bobby. This is just creative. It's wonderfully penned with imagery that we all can feel this empathy for this wolf that is crying for his love. You know, he, you know, those memories that you hold because you are bonded forever to your mate. And in death, it is as if you died also. And,
yeah.
You know, this is, you know, the between the lore of the werewolf and the excellent poetry that you just weaved into delicious darkness that moved all of us. And I agree with Naomi. It just was captivating to hear the stories of the night and the star, for I sing of the passion and love shared. And how he searches and looks for her and those people that have killed her. He will give them the pain that they have given him. Fantastic, Bobby. I loved your Blood Moon poem. Bravo.
Thank you, Brent.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'll try to be brief. I know your show's unsended. First of all, I was taken aback by this poem. You know, as a persevant, a follower of Poe, I've always enjoyed other writers who have write, you know, things that are analogous to his stories. As for the poem as well, with the reference to the wolf and his mate, I thought that was beautiful, spiritual as well. There is this deep longing in this poem, but you have such a masterful pen. The way you produce these types of poems, in this case, the narrative, was brilliant. I'm tell you one thing. This poem made me think that the hell of Netflix. Tonight's poetry was better than that.
Thank you.
Great comment, everybody. An excellent read, Bobby. Excellent write.
Thank you.
And so I'm at a bit of a conundrum here. I've got a piece by Pee-wee that he added to the board. And I've got a piece by Naomi that she added. So I've got to choose between you two and who is going to be the last poem.
Naomi first, because she's a caller. And then we can read Pee-wee if we have time.
Well, can you stay after? Or the show, does the show end after the top of the hour? How does it work?
It goes off the air,
sometimes,
but it stays on the recording.
Okay. Well, we can stay on recording now. Do both of the poems.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to stay.
Well, we should play Pee-wee's then, and if you wouldn't mind giving us a read, Frank, I would appreciate that. Because that
I don't mind, Ray. You can keep mine for our next show. It's totally fine with me.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, we don't mind hanging out after the show. It would just be on a recording and not broadcast, unfortunately.
All right, okay. I'll give it a stop here. And I know, is this about Pee-wee? I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Is it Kusum? Anyways, it's called A Prophet's Lament, and it's called Liquid Sun for Now, and it goes like this. Transcendent Omnichiever, Omnichieving Ascension, inevitably moving mountains is my mission. Steeped in indecision or lack of vision, a juxtaposition of a decision to be the revision of old superstitions and decisions, bringing a light for those lacking vision and building bridges over and through life's prism of schisms, whether I connect to and accept you or reject you for things you do, apprehensions of convention, lactus to men, tension of suspensions has me falling short of ascension. Life flies, time, I've never known exactly why life left me alone, try to find why. I'm left forever never holding now, as the pieces all keep sliding away, no memories of any love or home, liquid sun dripping out from my days, and liquid sun's brown, cloudy life aid. In the poem.
Wonderful read, Frank.
I think my eyes wandering at this hour. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, this is a powerful poem, deeply personal and introspective. You know, by flies time, I'd never known exactly why life left me alone, trying to find why. I'm left forever, never holding now, as the pieces all slip away, no memories of any love or home. Liquid sun dripping out from my days, in the sun's liquid browns, light, cloudy light haze. Yeah, amazing, right? Fantastic reads as well. Great. And Reba, what did you think?
Oh, I thought the words were put together so beautifully. It flows. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. I do apologize for the croaks. Apprehensions of convention left you sentient to mention, detention of suspensions had me falling short of ascension. That's just so clever and so nice and so great to read and hear. So, yes, I think this is a wonderful poem, and thank you so much for sharing, Pee-wee. Are you on mute?
Right.
Yes, I started the show off with a mute, and I'm going to end it with a mute. I apologize. But
come
full circle. Sorry?
That's the hour.
I said you're coming for full circle.
Yeah, exactly. It was an amazing read on that, Frank. And that poem was powerful, deep. It was deep, metaphoric, and rich. It was powerfully engaging, right? Introspective and, you know, sad as well, but just a beautiful poem. What did you think?
Did you ask me?
Naomi? Yeah,
oh,
Naomi?
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, a very psychological right here, you know, a very deep and thought-provoking and sad, too. And I really loved, you know, that last stanza is just, you know, it evokes so many emotions in the reader. You know, I'm left forever, never holding now, as the pieces all keep slipping away. No memories of any love or home. Liquid sun dripping out from my days in liquid sun's brown, cloudy life haze. Wow, you know, those lines are amazing. You know, so bravo, Pee-wee. You know, what a right. What a right. Just amazing. Bravo.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
I love the emotions of Pee-wee's poem, how, you know, when we go through life, and especially if our life hasn't been happy, how we tend to question everyone, question their mission. And, you know, it's not so much a lack of vision as it is the pain that's inflicted, that you learn with superstitions and decisions to hold people back from clouding that light that tries to shine forward, you know. And sometimes we connect to people, sometimes we do not. But he says, the time flies, I never knew it. I love that stanza Naomi read. By flies times, I've never known exactly why life left me alone and tried to find a why. You know, sometimes, as I told one of my friends, that if she was adopted and she didn't know her family, and they treated her very well and were very loving and did as much as they could for her. And I told her, you know, sometimes when you find out where you came from, you don't want to know. And I told her that I would have traded my life with hers just to be loved and not to experience this.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lee. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I've communicated with Kyle on some of his pieces. He says he's a fairly new writer. He says he's only taken up the pen recently, but he is a very nimble writer. His use of language, he's very agile. And even though some of the way he weaves things almost makes it seem a bit frothy, it's deceptively so, because, I mean, transcendent underachiever, achieving ascension inevitably and inevitably. I mean, and the way his verse is very melodious. I mean, this is, you can see the care with which he assembles his pieces, for the, not only the thoughts that they convey, but the sound, the melody, the rhythm of it. This is a very complex write, and I think Kyle tends to underplay his writing severely. I think he is a superb writer.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Oh, this is a very powerful poem, another powerful poem here. And you look at that word alone, you know, which emphasized capitalized. It reminds me of Edgar Allan Poe's poem Alone, which I could identify so clearly for many years. This is really, really haunting. It's really mournful as well. But it's introspective here, and there's so much, you know. When you write this type of poetry, this is what connects to us, man. This is what makes us human. When we share our experiences and we find ourselves connected even more, even to a poem of this nature. And Lou, I feel for you for what you had to go through.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Well, much love, everybody. Thank you for calling in tonight. I appreciate you all. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, everybody. Love you guys. Hugs and kisses all around.
Hugs and kisses and besotes. Good night, everybody.
Bobby's after party there. Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Bobby after party. Yeah.
Glad to have you back, yep. Bobby.
That's true. We've been missing you there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night.